MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors, Draco Impact Armor, Clench Custom Mouthguards, Cast Iron Supplements, Brawl Base, Pro-Am Belts, Game Changer Clothing, Never Tap, Hyped Fight Store, Intimidation Clothing, Ink Tank Tattoo, 24 in LV, Crossroader Clothing, Central Oregon Trike, Triumph Fitness, Vision Smoke Shop, Tank Crimes, Big T's Nightclub, and ACS Live TV. Always supporting local MMA. You're listening to MMAMadhouse.com live.
House Live. Big shout out to all our sponsors, especially Jax Media and jaxmedia.ca. Check them out. They can hook you up with everything. Big shout out to LaFoxy. How you doing tonight, brother?
Doing great, buddy. How are you doing?
I can't complain. Tonight we got a pretty kick-ass show lined up.
You didn't fucking hit my music, man. You didn't hit my... Man... You know, you wouldn't disrespect Ric Flair like that.
No. And you know what?
You wouldn't disrespect...
Hold on. It's in queue already, and I forgot. I just totally bypassed it. Here we go, folks. I'm going to bring in the man himself, the baddest partner on the planet.
Selection. Check out this selection right here.
Where you from?
Critically acclaimed, lyrically acclaimed, self-proclaimed. Nobody calls me nothing except for your mother. She birthed your monkey ass.
Now I'm doing better.
All right. Yes. Tonight we got a killer show. We got an old friend, Jennifer Ray, from Premier Combat Group, coming back to kick it with us and talk about their next event at the Cowboy Dance Hall in San Antonio, Texas. Then we got a fighter we sponsor, and he's wrapping up fighting for a little while. So his last fight, we're going to talk to him about that before he's deployed, and he has to take some time off. That's Lehigh Dominguez. I can't wait to talk to that cat and see how pumped he is. And then last but not least, Jeremy Lucha from 559 Fights out of California. Great, great organization. Camo ready, always there. Can't wait to talk with those cats as well, see how everything was going with this card. I know you had some changes at the last minute. Other than that, how you been, partner?
Dude, I've been pretty good. I was having kind of a crazy day, and I was on my way to the crib, you know, and I got a commute every day from Eugene to Corvallis on I-5. So then I get the fuck off the freeway at the exit, and, you know, apparently, like, Oregon has become panhandler friendly. Like, everywhere I fucking go, I see, like, two panhandlers on each corner. You know, they sit out there every day. Like, you can... I don't even tell people what, like, the street names there are anymore. I describe street corners by who the panhandler is. And I'm getting tired of it, you know? So today I'm, like, I pull up to the stoplight, and there's this fucking panhandler. And he's, like, walks up to my window and starts yelling at me to give him a dollar. And then he's like, give me 75 cents. And he's, like, yelling at me the whole time. And I'm, like, trying not to look at this clown. He's, like, a foot off my car. And I'm, like, what the fuck, man? And so then he starts yelling. He's, like, give me a fucking penny. And yelling. And he's, like, fuck you. You can't even fucking help me. I just want some help. And he gave me an idea. So, like, the light turned green. And I got him some help, man. I just called the police on him.
You're like, dude, this guy's trying to rob me on the freeway.
Yeah, I was like, so he's like, what's going on? I was like, there's some guy out there acting like he's on drugs, crazy panhandler. Told her where he was at. So I had some help. You know, he wanted some help. That's all he said. I just want some help, man. Well, send the guy out that's supposed to help you.
it's been a while, but because I live in a smaller town, you know, on this side of the mountain. But and like in Houston especially, it used to get bad. Every now and again, we get one here. But the thing I like is, like, we had one maybe last summer. It had a big cardboard sign that says, I need beer to fuel my spaceship to go home to my home planet. So I stopped and gave him $2 because I thought that was great.
That's creative.
But like the one who says, why do I just want a beer? I'll give him $1.
Yeah. You know, I mean, but don't, like, every day sit out there with your thing. $1 helps. Anything helps. I'm short on rent. Dude, there's a lot of motherfuckers short on rent. They ain't out there on the fucking corner begging other fucking people to pay their fucking bills. You know? Shit.
Yeah. Dude, well...
And I think, like, fucking Eugene is, like, Eugene, every fucking panhandler in the state of Oregon has, like, migrated to Eugene. Because apparently there, it's, like, legal to panhandle there. Like, I think these people just camp on some of the corners. Like, they just fucking live there. If they don't have rent, they're like, I'm short on rent. I'm like, you live on this fucking corner. I drive by here at 7 o'clock in the morning, here you sit. I drive by here at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, here you fucking sit. If you took an hour out of your day and walked to the nearest McDonald's and fucking got an application, you could get off the fucking corner. No, but half these motherfuckers you drive by there, they got like 3 empty fucking Starbucks cups, a bag of fucking 7-Eleven food, an empty bag from McDonald's. I'm like, why the fuck am I helping you? It's fucking bullshit, man. I'm tired of these motherfuckers, man. Go get a fucking job, you fucking bozo.
Okay, now that you've gotten to get that off your chest, I want to talk some MMA, and we're going to start down in Texas, and let me get my first guest in queue. You want to tell everybody when and where this is?
Who, me?
We're going to try her again in a quick second. I got her voicemail. So give me a second. We'll try it again. But, yeah, dude, I'm definitely curious to talk to her about this card because some of these fighters we've talked to her in the past about, and they seem to be progressing pretty well. And her card's always good. She's got great gyms throughout Texas showing up to, you know, support that event. So I'm super pumped to try her again in a second.
The lightweight championship looks like a good fight.
Yes, we were talking about that. I'll be honest. You know, for me, it's a great name just to sell a fight like that. I mean, you're Greg Guerrero versus Sean Cool for the lightweight championship. I mean, that just sounds great, man. That sounds like something you would go and see on pay-per-view for $44.95. You know, that's just a great
sound. Unless it's Bellator, then it's $34.95.
Oh, let's try it. Miss Jennifer again, and I'm just calling her live because I don't want to keep jumping in the queue.
Fine, dude. Do what you gotta do. Whoa. If we get voicemail again, I'm yelling at you.
Hello.
Hey, Jennifer, how are you doing tonight?
I am awesome. How are you?
Oh, we're doing excellent. Great. Super excited to talk to you again and catch up with you. We were actually just talking a little bit about your card and your main event, but for everybody out there, why don't you tell them who you are and your organization and a little bit about them?
Absolutely. I am Jennifer Trevino. I am the co-owner and promoter for Premier Combat Group. We are an amateur association out of San Antonio. We are actually going into our 5th year of operation. We're, I think, on fight number 18 or 19, something like that. And really, it's just me, my business partner, Trevor. We're a couple of MMA enthusiasts. We love this sport, and that's really what we're all about. We just love throwing fights, helping the guys get further in their career, and that's really who we are.
Well, I'm a big fan of your organization. You know, we've got to cover your events. And, you know, I'm curious, with the great turnout you guys consistently had, I don't know if you can answer this or not, but is that the reason Legacy came to your same event facility that you guys consistently use, is because of the turnout there?
You know, I have to tell you, working with Legacy had been a goal and really a dream of mine for the last year. And I actually went to one of their fights. I think it was in Dallas when they had Europa there. And cut through the back just to go meet Mick, introduce myself, get myself in front of him. And I was the one who was like, you guys should really think about coming to San Antonio. And so me and Mick got to talking about it, and that was in August of last year. And by December of last year, everything had been set, and they came in February, and it was awesome. That was definitely something that I'd worked on. So,
well, congratulations, because I know that facility is a great facility for MMA, and I just was curious how they got tied into that, because you guys have been so successful in that part of the state when so many others haven't.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, you know, Legacy, the people who own it, Nick and Andrea, they're so amazing. Colin, he's amazing. They're such a great group of people. I mean, who better to work for? And actually, I have just been hired on with them. I was actually with them in Corpus in May. I fly out to work for them in Lubbock, and then they'll be back in San Antonio September and December. So it's been a great partnership, and I can't even put into words how exciting this has been.
Now, for you and your organization, you know, with the Cowboy Extreme Cage Fighting events, does this build any, you know, maybe door opening for some of your better amateurs for when they turn pro?
That was definitely one of my plans. There's a couple of guys that I've got their folders off to the side because that's where I want them to go. I want them to fight for the best. And in my opinion, in Texas, that is Legacy. So when we started working together, that was definitely one of my goals was, okay, maybe I can get some of my guys who I truly believe have a future in this sport in that organization. And we've actually have a couple who have gone on to fight for Legacy and a couple more who were working on getting on their December card. So it's been awesome.
Well, and you guys have traditionally had a great pick from a lot of successful gyms in that part of Texas and even farther out. This time around, you guys have, I believe, 12 fights on your card?
We're down to 11, but that's still good.
You didn't lose the main event, right?
No. Oh, hell no. That one
is
still
no,
on.
So, what do you think about the main event? I think it's interesting. I think Cool wins it, though.
Man, you know, I don't know. I'm a big fan of both of these guys. Tommy is definitely the underdog in this one. A lot of it because Sean is local. He's from San Antonio. But both of these guys have major talent. And these are two guys that I've been watching since they started with us. So I'm really excited to see it. It's hard for me because, you know, I work with these guys for so long. One of them obviously has to lose, and I, you know, sucks. But I'm excited to see this fight. And fortunately, it's my main event, and that is the one fight that I actually get to go cage side for and watch. So I'm really excited.
Now, do you ever get confused between Greg and Tommy? I mean, since it's the same person.
No.
Because you just confused
me.
For a second, I forgot his nickname was Tommy, and I was like, hold on. I was like, Greg Guerrero is in the main event. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, I know. You know, yeah. Whenever I have to submit to the state, I still put their nicknames, but I've gotten used to doing that. So yeah, I remember him as Tommy, but he's really Greg.
Well, you know, this fight, you know, obviously the title, you know, for your organization, like I said, it is one of the strongest amateur organizations in the state, especially very dominant in the Austin-San Antonio area. You know, this title brings a lot of notoriety to this fighter. Do you feel that both these fighters are ready for that mentally?
I really think they are. And first of all, I have to say thank you for that compliment. You know, when we set out to do this, we really just wanted to throw cage fights and love the sport. So to hear stuff like that, it really feels like everything that we've done and all the work that we're putting into this, it's paying off. So first of all, thank you. You know, both of these guys, Sean has been ready for this since I met him. This kid is so gung-ho. Tommy's like the silent guy. You wouldn't think that he's this amazing fighter, and he just really is. And so I think both of them mentally, and, you know, I talk to them a lot before they go into a title fight. You know, I schedule these fights, but when it comes to title fights, I do make sure to talk to them and, you know, kind of see where they're at. And both of them were extremely excited. They were ready to go. They've been wanting this. So mentally, yeah, I think they're both there.
Is there any angle on this fight? Like, do they train at rival gyms, or is it just two guys that earned the shot?
Yeah, it's really two guys that earned a shot. You know, there were two guys in my 155 division that I had just kept my eye on, and it was the fight that I wanted to see. So that's what I did.
I think that's the best, you know, that's how I think cards should be built, you know, because sometimes you know exactly the right fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know,
there's nothing wrong with, like, because if you want to see a fight, more than likely other people are going to want to see that fight.
And I still have some like that. There's still some of my amateur guys who have gone pro, and, you know, I tried to set them up with a particular fight in the amateur circuit, and it didn't work out, so I tried to get them that same fight in pro, because it's just something I want to see. And I feel, especially the ones that, you know, I want to see their careers go forward, I just, you know, to be the best, you got to beat the best. So I love to, that's my favorite part of matchmaking, is when I can actually get the fighters together that I want to see fight, that I know will be a good fight.
No, yeah, for sure. That's what we all want. And you know what? The best time for them to fight some of these super tough guys is as, like, late in their amateur career, where a loss still won't hurt them. But it'll
exactly.
at least let them know where they're at, you know, before they turn pro.
Exactly.
I mean, your last few amateur fights, I think, should be harder than your first few pro fights.
I absolutely agree. Yeah, no, I got you, and I agree, totally.
Now, what's another fight that you're liking on this one? I'm leaning towards the Ivy fight.
I'm excited to see him because that's Dimitri's brother. I've watched Dimitri fight through his amateur, and, you know, I've seen some of his pro fights. So I'm pretty excited to see that one as well. I'm excited to see Oz Sanchez come back. This guy, he fought with me back in April, but he'd been out for, God, something like 4 years or something. So I am really excited to see him back on the card. You know, we were able to get him on. Sean Frado, I'm excited to see this kid. He is such a firecracker, and I've been trying to get him on a card for the last year and a half. And it just, you know, his fights kept falling through. Nothing was working out. And so to finally get him on, I'm really excited about that one. And then, of course, Bobby Joe Alexander. He's my guy from Team Looter. I'm excited to see his fight because he's just got so much talent. He's going to do great.
You guys aren't streaming, and I'm a little upset.
I know. We need to get that figured out.
Because I want to see Bobby Alexander fight, too.
Yeah, I agree.
Will you do me a favor and, like, tape it on your iPhone and then just email it to me? I won't distribute it, I promise.
Well, we have a couple of reps. We've got TexasFighting.com is going to be there, and normally they'll record it and get it on YouTube. And then we've got a rep from Texas MMA who I think is going to be taking video too. So I think it will end up on YouTube. I think we can make
awesome.
It happen.
Yeah, well, and... You know, just for down the road, you know, one of our sponsors for MMAMadhouse.com is Go Fight Live TV. You should check them out. They're a phenomenal organization for streaming amateur MMA.
Awesome. I will definitely do that. That's one thing that we've been talking about. We just haven't been able to make happen, and I would really love to see that happen.
I will shoot you tonight or tomorrow a private message with the contact info for the guys so you guys can contact them and kind of see what the deal's about.
That would be awesome. Thank you.
Now, we're talking about fights, and I know fans out there might look at this fight and see two guys with, you know, not great records, but I got a feeling that the Fabian Menendez-Isaiah Gutierrez fight could be a banger. Those guys, neither one of them, their losses are like flash KOs. They're split decisions and wars. Putting these two guys together, did you feel that these guys are going to bring it because they're both so hungry?
You know, first of all, Isaiah fights at 125, And this is what makes me excited about this fight. You know, Fabian fights at 135, Isaiah at 125. When I call Isaiah and, you know, let him know who the opponent was, and it was actually through his coach, they were more than willing to take it. Isaiah was like, hell yeah, screw it. I will go up to 135 just to take this fight. That was exciting to me. And then Fabian, you know, Isaiah's got a 3-1 record. Fabian's got a 2-0 record. When I told Fabian's coach, they were like, yeah, hell yeah, we'll take it. Everybody that I've seen come out of Mendez Martial Arts, these guys are brawlers. They're so good. They're so skilled on the ground. So, yeah, I think that's going to be a huge fight. And the fact that both of these kids are, like, hungry and they could have given a shit about their records and or their weight, I mean, that speaks a lot to me.
Jennifer, how old is Isaiah?
Isaiah is, I can tell you in 2 seconds.
Is Fabian still 17?
Yeah, Fabian's 17. Isaiah is 20, he'll be 21 next week. Yeah,
he'll be able to celebrate. He won't be in fight camp. That's what you should tell him. You gave him for his birthday was that the fights were this weekend rather than next weekend, so that he wasn't in the middle of a weight cut when he turned 21. Who could have asked for
right?
a birthday present? You're like, there you
right?
go, bud. You owe me a drink now.
Right, happy birthday. Go get drunk.
Yeah.
And now, you know, Jennifer, I know that you guys are. You know, one of your main sponsors is the local Harley dealership, as well as you know, an employment.
This is like a walk down memory lane. Every time we have Jennifer on, Skippy's like, he's like flashbacks to when he lived in San Antonio. He's like, okay, let's talk about all the places I know. Did you go eat at that Greek place yet, Jennifer?
Well, I was curious if she made it out to Rot a couple weeks ago, because Rot's a big deal, and with her Harley dealership, I figured she probably made it to Rot. And if she did she see any of the fights out there that weekend?
Man, I did not get to go to Rot Rally. I never get to go to Rot Rally because our dealership is only 45 minutes away from the Rot Rally, and we are so busy that weekend because of everybody coming through that I never get to make it out. And then I wanted to go, and then I found out that the fight started at 3. Well, I don't get out of work till on a Saturday till almost 6:30, so by the time I would have gotten there, everything was over. Yeah, I had to miss it, and it sucked.
Yeah,
you need to rework that. Next time they offer you a raise, just tell them no. I no longer work Rot Rally weekend.
I'm gonna have to do something because, yeah, I that sucked. I really did want to go. They hadn't done fights since God XFC was doing them out there, so it would have been nice to have gotten to go. But oh well, next year.
Hey Jennifer, what was the first live MMA event you went and watched?
The first live MMA event I ever watched was actually the first one that I ever worked for, and that was in 2006 with Jesse James Leja, when him and who is now my business partner, Trevor Bird, were doing the pro cage fights at Captain Dance Hall. Everything
Man,
else
Jesse
I had
James
only
Leja,
seen on TV.
That's a flash to the past right there.
Yeah, he's awesome. We still keep in contact with him.
So you've been deep in the MMA scene in the San Antonio, Austin area for quite a few years.
Yeah, it's been about 7 years. Yeah, 7 going on 8 years. It's been quite a while. I started off as an intern and worked for any organization that I could. And then finally in 2008, the first man that I interned for, which was Trevor when he was doing Leja, him and I became business partners and started working on PCG and threw our very first fight in 2009. So, yeah, I've been plugging away at this for a little while.
Now, all this entailed, all these cards, 18 cards, you know, interning, working now with Legacy, building all this. Can you look back and tell yourself honestly that you got where you wanted, or do you feel like you need to get more?
I always want to keep going. I don't ever want to stop and, you know, think, oh, I've made it. This is where I want to be. There's always a next level. And so I definitely want to keep going. Getting to work for Legacy, you know, it's huge. I can't even put that to words, and that was definitely a goal of mine. And there's so much that I want to accomplish with Legacy, and then who knows where I'll go from there. So I look back, and I'm grateful for all of the grunt work that I did in the beginning and, you know, all the hard times that I went through and everything. But, yeah, I definitely am not where I want to be, but that's not a bad thing. I just always want to keep going.
Now, with the organization, you know, Premier Combat Group, will we see an expansion now with, obviously, your continued success in San Antonio? And like I said, anybody who follows the scene in Texas, we've seen a lot of leagues come and go very quickly. Guys put on one, maybe two events, and they disappear. Will we see you maybe go to a different big city?
You know, we've talked about that. We've been invited to Dallas to do, well, actually in Arlington, because they have a Cowboys dance hall out there. And we've talked about it. Right now, we're really happy in San Antonio. I don't know that we want to expand. We definitely don't want to infringe on everybody's market, especially with there being so many more other MMA organizations popping up all over the place. We kind of don't want to step on anybody's toes, and we are really happy with where we at and where we're at. And I think we kind of want to grow, keep growing in San Antonio. You know, San Antonio is such a boxing town, so we really want to continue to push MMA and turn this into an MMA town eventually. So I think right now we're going to stick to San Antonio, but if that changes, you guys will be the first to know.
Well, you know, I'm just curious. I don't see why, you know, when you're the king of the hill, you should worry about, you know, right now taking on more hills. So I think you guys are a proven successful organization. You guys have brought in top fighters, great gyms who have, you know, reputable lineage.
Oh, hey, yeah. I think we just lost Skippy. I was trying to figure that out for a second, but Skippy's audio just dropped.
Oh, no.
So, hey, can we talk about maybe some of the difficulties you first faced when you got in the game? You went silent, Skippy, for something happened. You cut out on your mic. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, when I was starting out as far as, you know, being a promoter, I was only 25. So it was really hard to get people to take me seriously. You know, the state, they weren't, I don't want to say they were hard on me, but they were definitely cautious, you know, because this is such a male-dominated sport. So I really had to fight my way in there and really prove that, hey, you know, this is what I want to do. You know, I've got an agenda, and it took me a little bit to get my promoter's license, but I did get it. And then calling gyms and calling coaches and no, I'm serious. I'm really doing this. Luckily some of them already knew me from when I was an intern and when I helped, Tama, but the ones that didn't, you know, there were times where just wouldn't even call me back. You know, the gyms wouldn't call me back. So it was tough, but after getting over, you know, those hurdles and we've been around for as long as we have, I definitely don't run into anything like that anymore. And I'm very lucky, very blessed.
That's awesome, man. I just think there's a lot of women out there that maybe want to try to get in, and you could provide them with some of the advice that, you know, that they might need to help crack that door.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to see more women on the side of it. You know, right now I think in the amateur circuit, it's just me and another woman, Paula, and I'm not too sure what's going on with her organization, but any woman who is interested in getting in on the business side, I would love to talk to them. You know, offer my advice and what I've learned and what I've done and what's worked and what hasn't. I would love it.
Awesome, man. I think that would be great. Hey, Jennifer, we're about to have to wrap this up. Do you want to give a shout out to your sponsors?
Definitely. All I drink. So thank you, Miller Lite, for everything. Furious brand, the only fight gear that I wear, and their new brand, it's their workout brand. It's Red Rebuild Evolve Destroy. I actually wore it today to CrossFit, and I love it. And Texas, thank you so much for everything. Thank you so much for everything. Broadway 5050, where we do our weigh-ins. Thank you, guys. And I look forward to seeing everybody there this Saturday night. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. I don't know if Skippy, if we can hear Skippy right now. He's talking again, but he's not audio-wise. We really appreciate you coming on, and we look forward to hearing about the Bobby Alexander fight.
Awesome. Yes, I will make sure that gets on YouTube, and as soon as it is, I will send you guys a message and make sure that you guys get to see it.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Please have a great rest of your night.
Awesome.
Skippy, are you back in action, or what's the skinny here, bro? It's so funny. Like, it's like watching Skippy's mouth run, and nothing's coming out of it. I'm like, this is almost like heaven. I know Jeff understands what I'm talking about. I'm like, you're being
yourself.
This is, you understand what it's like.
Hey, now.
That's for
I
all the times that
malfunctions. I was having some malfunctions. Sorry about that.
That's good, man. I got to talk to Jennifer instead of listening to you talk the whole time.
Dude, it was a great interview, man. Great young lady. I love the fact that she's so open to, you know, work with other ladies to help them get them in the door. But I believe our next guest is ready. Let's check and see. Leah, are you there, buddy?
I bet you don't even know what you're talking about.
I'm here,
bro. Oh,
man,
wow, man.
I
win. Even
how
a
you
blind
doing, Leah?
Found a nugget.
Like a ninja, man. I slipped on the radio.
Even a blind squirrel like Skippy finds a nut. What the fuck? What's going on, Leah?
I'm doing good. I just got done with a hard training session, so I'm just at my house with my wife and son, just relaxing.
What did today consist of, man?
Oh man, it consisted of three, four hard rounds of boxing, stairs. Just tons of mitt work and cardio, just getting those hands ready.
So, are you looking to bang it out this time?
What's that?
Are you just looking to bang it out this time?
I've been craving that knockout. You know, I've been working with Shane Stoneman. He's my boxing coach, and you know, I'm most comfortable on the ground. You know, with my wrestling and jiu-jitsu. So, you know, I just want to show people that I can mix it up, that, you know, I'm not just a one-dimensional fighter. So, definitely, I mean, whatever happens, happens. But, you know, I've always been craving that knockout.
Well, that's not a bad thing to crave. So,
craving pizza, too, but I'm on a diet, so.
Well, just think, you should just tell yourself, if you get the TKO, you get the pizza.
Exactly.
You're right. So for everybody out there, why don't you tell them, you know, for the fans out there who might not know you listening tonight, who you are, where you're fighting out of, what your record is, and where we're going to see you fight in a few short days.
Yeah, I train out of the Pit Elevated down here in Orem, Utah. I'm currently 2-0. This is my third amateur fight. And I'll be fighting for the Clash MMA up in Logan, Utah on August 23rd, so next Friday.
Logan, good place, small little town right up there on the border, huh?
I've never been there. It's pretty far up north, so you know, I'm just excited to. I've normally fought for Steel Fist, so this will be my first fight with another promotion, just trying to get my name out there more, so more people know who I am. And so I think it'll be good, you know. I'm excited for it.
Now, for folks out there who don't know you as well as we do, because, you know, obviously we're proud sponsors of you, this will be your last fight for a little bit, right?
Right.
How long will
I'll be headed out.
Tell everybody.
I'm sorry?
How long are you looking at, and explain to everybody why you're stepping away from fighting for a little bit?
Okay. I'll actually be out a year. I'm deploying with my unit. I'm in the Army National Guard down here in Utah, so we're deploying overseas, and so it'll be my third deployment. And so I'm pretty excited, but again, I'll be gone a year, so, you know, hopefully they have some good Army combatives to keep me busy out there. But yeah, I'll be out of action for a year after this.
See, we were talking about that, okay? Me and Lepaki were talking about this the other night before, you know,
you came on the show, we were wondering about what, how much free and downtime will you have, and how much training will you be able to get in, do you think?
I told Skippy, hold on, Lehigh. I told Skippy you'll probably train more there than you do here.
Well, I'll definitely have a lot of free time. So, you know, whether it's lifting weights or, you know, if I can find somebody to, if I can find a sparring partner out there or just someone to beat up on that wants to learn boxing or learn MMA. But I definitely feel I'll have a lot of downtime to be able to continue training. And like I said, you know, Army Combat is all around, so I'm pretty sure I'll be able to keep it going while I'm out there.
Well, that sucks, because that means I lose that argument. Damn. Now, you know, you're talking about the combatives program. Did they have that available last time or the two previous times?
No. The two previous times, I didn't really have a lot of downtime. I was always working, and so most of the time, if I did do anything, it was just lifting weights. But my other two deployments, I really wasn't training MMA. I just barely started about 2.5 years ago. So basically, all of my MMA experience comes from training at the pit. And so, I mean, I'm pretty excited this time, though. Pretty excited to see what's out there. And, you know, like I said, hopefully they have some stuff available and, you know, I can continue to train and get better.
Well, and that's something that I'd like to touch on. You are training with a great gym, and right now there's a lot of guys on fire coming out of your gym. Guys winning big fights, guys winning titles. Is there any part of you that's going to miss that, being away from that for a little while?
I'll definitely miss it. You know, the pit, the thing that I love about the pit the most is, you know, all the guys on the pro team, they've all become like family to me. You know, from day one, Brock Jardine took me under his wing. You know, and just guys like Jason South, just everybody. You know, Jan Jorgensen, Corey McGee, Ramsey Nijem, Steve Seiler, all those guys, Josh Berkman. They've all took me under their wing, and you know, taught me along the way. They see that I was working hard, and you know that I was really pushing it. So, you know, it's really awesome to have mentors like that, you know, guys that I can look up to. So, yeah, I'll definitely miss it, you know. Anytime that I'm away from the gym, like I am right now, because I'm on active duty, so I'm not able to go to team practices at 12 like I normally used to. So, you know, anytime I get to go to the pit, it's like being back home.
Hey, so what was the first day you went in to train at the pit, Lehigh? What was that like for you?
I was excited, but I was nervous. I really didn't know what to expect. My first class was jiu-jitsu, and like I said, Brock Jardine was teaching it. And after one class of getting choked out nonstop, you know, I was hooked. You know, I've always been competitive, so you know, just getting beat up for a couple months by everybody, and I was excited to get in there. And like I said, everybody just made me feel at home, so it just made me want to stay there and continue to train.
Now, when are you able to train right now? You got the fight coming up. If you're not able to make pro practice, are you able to sneak in at night? Or
actually, this whole camp, I've actually been training with Shane Stoneman. So, you know, it's just been a lot of it's been nothing but boxing and cardio. Yesterday, I was able to get in some grappling and you know, some wrestling, so I hope to do that a little bit more the rest of this week. But, yeah, for the most part, it's just been straight boxing with Shane.
Now, you've got to have a great support system in your wife because, I mean, you know, a lot of fighters, first of all, it's tough for them to be in a relationship and have somebody be so supportive, but then you're talking about not only fighting, but now you're leaving for periods of time, and you must have a great support system in your family.
Yeah, my wife, she's been awesome. You know, my very first fight, she was pretty nervous. I think she was more nervous than I was. But, you know, after that first fight, she was completely 100% supportive, you know, just, you know, helping me push ticket sales, helping me sell my walkout shirts, you know, just being there at the events, you know. it's meant a lot, you know, because, I mean, after my victories, just being able to be there with her and to celebrate it with her, you know, I wouldn't be able to do it without her, basically. So I'm really happy that she's so supportive of my career now.
Well, and it's funny because a lot of amateurs out there, they try and they struggle to find sponsorships. And obviously your class as a character and personality is lovable by sponsors, as well as your ability inside, you know, the combat area, because you've got great sponsors and more keep stepping up. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, selling your fighter walkout shirts. I'm a big fan of your shirts. I think that company did one sick, sick shirt. But how difficult has it been for you to get sponsorships knowing that you're going to have to take a break?
You know, I mean, at first, my first couple of fights, I really didn't look for any sponsors because, you know, I knew that having a sponsor, you're representing that business, and so, you know, to begin with, I just wanted to really, really prove myself, to show everybody that, hey, I can do MMA. I'm not just going in there and saying, hey, this is something that I did. You know, I really wanted to prove myself. And so, you know, my dad has always taught me to work hard from, you know, from the age of eight. You know, he used to take me to the chili fields and pick chili as a little kid. And he's just always taught me to work hard. And so, you know, I translated that into being in the gym. You know, I just wanted to work hard and really prove myself. So I think that over time, you know, people started seeing that hard work. They saw that I was, you know, constantly in the gym, constantly working hard and dedicating myself to MMA. So this time around, you know, I started asking around, started really talking to different businesses, and everybody, you know, basically all my sponsors have told me the same thing, that before they said yes, they did background on me or they did research, you know, saw what I was about, saw what I was doing. And you know, from everybody, I've always heard that everyone has nothing but good things to say, that I work hard, I'm humble, and that's one thing that I just, you know, I've always wanted to be. I wanted to be a humble person, because you can't have an ego in MMA, and so that's something I want the fans to see, my sponsors to see, that I'm humble, I'm working hard, and, you know, I'm just super appreciative of all my sponsors. I mean, every single day I'm blowing up my Facebook, and, you know, it's just amazing, you know. Like I have the VA mortgage leader, people like that. It's incredible that, you know, they're taking a chance on me. So I just want to, you know, continue to work hard and show them that, hey, you know, they didn't make a mistake by sponsoring me.
And I like it, because you have some bigger sponsors. You have some local sponsors. I think, you know, first of all, you went out and you got a great group of people behind you. You know, with all this, you basically have the mindset of a pro. So will we see you take another amateur fight when you come back, or do you plan on coming back and making a pro start?
I mean, I definitely, I know that as an amateur, I'm probably doing things that most other amateurs aren't doing. And, you know, I'm paying for personal boxing lessons. You know, just, I was working out at CrossFit gym for a while for this camp, just putting tons of money into it. And you know, just spending a lot of money on my camps, whereas, you know, it's as difficult as it is, you know, supporting my family, going to school. But you know, I definitely, that's the goal, to turn pro. If it's one more fight, or, you know, whenever my coaches feel I'm ready, you know, I'm just taking it a fight at a time. I'm not, you know, I'm not looking too far ahead, but definitely turning pro is the goal.
Now, with your, you know, your military service, is that something you're going to continue to, you know, stay enlisted, or do you plan on making a wrap up of that so you can focus full time on your pro? You know, what's your long term goal there? You know,
I mean, I've been in 10 years in the military. I re-enlisted for 6 years, so, you know, to retire you have to do 20 years. So I'm basically halfway there. I think I'll probably end up doing a full 20 years and retiring in the military. being in the National Guard is pretty easy, though, because you drill 1 weekend out of the month. So, you know, I still have the time to train and to go to school and to do other things. But, you know, right now it's been pretty easy balancing everything. And like I said, just the biggest thing is having the support of my family. That's made it the easiest, just, you know, spending the long hours in the gym. And, you know, it's been a blessing to have the support of my family. But, you know, I definitely want to do 20 years in the military and continue to do this, continue my MMA career as long as I can.
Well, speaking of MMA, who's the one guy in the gym that frustrates you when you guys are sparring?
Right now, it would probably have to be. I don't know. That's a tough question. But I guess it would have to be Ramzi Nijem. You know, anytime that I've only sparred with him a couple times, but you know, that dude, he packs a mean punch, and especially with his wrestling background. So if you're not getting punched, you're getting taken down. So I guess he was probably the most frustrating guy I ever had to spar with.
Who's your favorite person to spar in the gym?
My favorite person?
Yeah.
I would have to say Randy Yellowhair. He's just fun to bang with. You know, he doesn't shy away when we're standing and trading. It's, you know, we're standing and trading no matter how hard we're punching. Afterwards, it's just like, you know, you touch gloves and you go about your business. And it's really fun to trade with him. And then, you know, whether he's taking me down, working jiu-jitsu or wrestling, I always enjoy sparring with Randy. He's a really good guy.
So, I mean, obviously you've got a great, great group of people there. In the city of Salt Lake, are you guys able to get to any JITS tournaments or kickboxing fights?
Yeah, actually, it's pretty easy. It's been pretty easy to get fights. I've actually, I was offered a number of fights. I was offered fights for Jeremy Horn. I was offered a couple of more fights for Steelfist, but I had actually signed my contract with the Clash MMA, and you know, they were actively pursuing me, saying that they wanted me on the show. So, you know, I just, you know, Reed Romney, Eric Tillotson, they've shown me nothing but love. So, you know, whenever they offered me the fight, I was on board 100%. You know, I talked to my coaches and they were behind me. So, but you know, finding fights has been pretty easy. I know for other guys, you know, some of the up-and-coming guys like Danny Gunn, our female Deanna Bennett, you know, it's kind of hard for them to find fights because no one really wants to fight them. But I guess as far as my level, I was just saying as far as me, I've been able to find fights pretty easy.
Well, I wonder how much of it has to not only do with the fact that you're a good fighter, but you are very social media savvy. You're out there. You're pushing your sponsors. Like this event coming up with Clash MMA, you've really been pushing it. Ticket sales, you know, where to meet up. Do you feel that any of that is also part of a draw that, you know, fighters at your level should be focused on?
I definitely think so. You know, I look at a lot of pro guys that don't have that many sponsors, and I'm, you know, it's always confused me, you know, as to why. So I'm just like, you know, I think for guys on my level, if you're constantly showing these sponsors that, hey, you know, you're gonna back them up, that you're gonna do right, and it's not just them giving you, you know, money or gear or whatever, and then you disappearing, I think that definitely helps out, because then more sponsors will want to jump on board. You know, it's like, you know, the Funky Monkey. Through them, I found Hype Extreme Fighting, and so, you know, it's definitely one of those things that if you're constantly pushing and showing these sponsors that you're supportive of them as much as they're supportive of you, you know, I think it definitely helps out to get more sponsors down the road.
Now, I got to ask you a question. You know, me and you, we've gone back and forth, and even your wife has gotten involved in my cannabis energy drinks. But Hype Extreme has an energy drink. Have you got to try that one yet from Hype Extreme?
I have not yet. I haven't got to try it yet. I'm still waiting on my package in the mail. I'm pretty excited, but I think my wife liked that cannabis energy drink more than I did. She was pretty excited to try that.
Yeah, well, we'll have to ship you some. I'll get a hold of our sponsor and see if we can get like a few shipped to you. Cause look, LaPocky looking at me like, you dog.
I think she would be your favorite. I think you'd be her favorite person if you got her some of those drinks.
Yeah, see, I give LaPocky a case of those. He wouldn't even look at me any different. He'd just be like, schmuck.
Well, of course, dude. Lehi's wife doesn't have to put up with you five nights a week, bro.
I always see Skippy tagged at the garden place. I don't know what he does over there.
That's my day job.
If you only knew. A day job my rear end, dude. He goes there, Lehi, he works at a grow shop where he sells people, like, vitamins and nutrients for their garden. But really all he does is sit around all day and watch MMA.
Well, that's
You can't say that. He said that he tapped out little kids at the gym, too.
That was when he was a little kid, too, because Skippy hasn't been in a gym since he was five.
Hey, I went to a gym in 87, and they told me to leave, so it's not my problem. I tried. You know, maybe today another gym would like to offer me a membership. Oh, wait, what am I talking about? I got a year's membership to Triumph Fitness. Great sponsor, folks. I just had never been in there to work out yet, but I love the membership. You guys should all check it out. And my day job is pretty much consisting of selling grow equipment to stoners and watching MMA. It's not my fault that I'm getting paid an exorbitant amount of money to sit on my ass and watch MMA. So can't hate on me.
Did Lopati bring you some of that meatball sauce that he made that he was posting online?
Hell no, I didn't take him any of that.
See?
Hell no.
But my wife slaved away in the kitchen for 18 hours to hand-make from scratch brownies that we shipped to you because you're family and we love you. And this is the thing.
No, you sound like you sent me. You sent one brownie. You sent one brownie.
It's not an issue of quantity. It's an issue that we send it out of love. And sure enough, when he goes and gets sushi, who does he make sure he tags in a photo? Knowing that I live in Central Oregon, where if you say sushi, people think it's the Japanese attack.
Well, I didn't think that a Jewish Mexican would be eating sushi.
I love sushi.
I thought I only called you when I needed banking advice or wanted to run, jump, or swim into America. I don't know.
Hey, I'm the coolest Hispanic Mexican Jew anybody will ever meet in their life, hands down.
It's because you're the only one.
it's the first one
I've heard of.
Exactly.
It's funny because all my family, like my cousins, aunts, uncles, grandmas, they're all Catholic. And like me, my dad, my brothers and sisters, we're all Jewish. And it was so odd growing up. But
yeah, do they come around your house at Christmas time because you guys have the whole Hanukkah bid?
Well, and that's the thing is, like, we'd go to grandma's and she'd want to celebrate Christmas. And my dad would be like, well, we celebrate Hanukkah. And I'm like, that's messed up. Grandma, she lived in Ensenada. And we went down there once, and she made this beautiful dish, and there was fresh queso de fresco on it, but there was meat in it, so we couldn't eat it, because at the time, you know, my dad was super acidic, we didn't mix dairy and meat. Now, I love pork. Pork's my favorite thing in the world. Deny a kid of pork for 15 years and see what happens. I could cook pork every day, all day long. I'm a carnitas junkie.
Nasty son of a bitch.
Oh, you know,
I'll eat goat before I'll eat pork.
Ooh, good roasted goat with some fresh pico de gallo, man. Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Salsa verde. Yeah. Whatever, bro.
Leah, what's your favorite dish to eat after fight night?
After fight night, I just, just like my girl Jade Bryce, I love pizza. Now pizza and wings. That's how I got to do it.
Not bad.
Hmm.
Not bad.
Yeah, I mean, I basically eat like a rabbit all of training camp. So, you know, after training camp, I just pizza and buffalo wings. That's That's what I crave. So I have my own pizza to myself, my own thing of buffalo wings from Domino's, and I tell everybody, leave me alone. I'm pigging out.
What kind of
pizza? Have you ever had a hard time eating after a fight? Like you're still so keyed up that maybe you don't eat until the next day?
My first fight, I was actually pretty banged up. So, you know, I really didn't want to, I just wanted to go to bed. You know, I didn't want to eat anything. I didn't want to be out. My last fight was a lot easier. So, you know, afterwards I was just so excited, you know, I couldn't go to bed and I just, you know, I wanted to eat right away. So I was pigging out. I was eating everything. I was drinking soda. I just, anything in sight, chips, I was taking it all and I was pigging out.
It all had a one-way ticket to the shit highway, man.
Exactly.
Well, before we run out of time, I want you to have the opportunity to make sure all the fans out there can follow you on social media, make sure you give a shout-out to all your sponsors, anything, your family, your gym, whatever you want, this is your time.
Yeah, definitely follow me on Twitter. It's at Lehigh Dominguez. I'm on Facebook, same thing, Lehigh Dominguez. Definitely got to give a shout out to all my sponsors. You know, thank you MMA Madhouse again for having me on the show. VA Mortgage Leader, Will and Heather Farrar, Lester Muranaka, Dream Body Workouts, Kevin Moore, Death and Glory Tattoo, Ernest Dick, Jake's Brookside, Justin Jacobson, Hype Extreme Fighting, Dave Say, Andy and Tasha Real Estate, Funky Monkey MMA, Rob Mead, Christy Ann Photography, Krista Cox, Dominatrix, Kelly and Big E, Matt Campbell, my barber, Sandy Rodriguez, One Way or Another Remodeling, Stoneman Boxing, The Pit Elevated, you know, Jason Merlick, Arnold Anderton, just all the great coaches there, my wife, my son, Kiahi, and he has his first soccer game tomorrow, so I'm very excited for that. You know, all my family back in New Mexico, Arizona, California, just everybody that supported me. I thank everybody.
Well, we wish you the best of luck. You know, obviously, I know you're going to have to take a little break, but we'll still be able to keep in contact, and, you know, you can follow us for all the great MMA news because we just cover so much. But, you know, I want to make sure you keep in contact with me, man, you know, whether it's through Twitter or emails. That way we can make sure, you know, you're doing all right and we can let the fans know.
Yeah, most definitely. I'll definitely have access to Facebook and Twitter still. So, yeah, I'll stay in touch. And, you know, like I said, again, thanks for having me on the show. It's been fun.
Hey, we're proud to be sponsors of yours. We love having you on the show, man. And like I said, we wish you the best of luck. Go out there and get a win.
I definitely will. And, Lopati, make sure you share some spaghetti with Skippy.
I might, bro. I might actually. What'll happen is when you get back from your adventure, I'll come down and we'll have some spaghetti, and then we'll just send Skippy pictures of
it. We'll tag him.
Yeah, exactly. We'll tag him, man. We'll make sure he can feel like he's there. We might even put with him. Like we're with Skippy.
Maybe we could contact Chael Sonnen and he can make a pizza for Skippy. You know.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
I'm sorry I don't, because I don't go to the mean streets of West Lynn, Oregon. That's just too tough of an area. I mean, straight up, I just can't mess around on the mean streets of West Lynn. I don't know if you've ever been there,
the mean streets of West Lynn are made up with guys walking around with, like, pink polo shirts with the collar popped. I mean, it's pretty legit, bro.
Oh.
That's the mean streets of West Lynn, bro. Like, there's just a bunch of rich little kids running around. They're like, oh man, let's set off this car alarm. Like, that's their big mean street adventure.
Make sure they're not littering, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. They're like this sign. They're like riding their skateboard down the street, and they actually see a sign that says no skateboarding. They're the kids that like get over and walk until they get past the sign, and then they're like, I think it's safe to start skateboarding again. The streets in West Lynn are not mean.
Well, hey, we're going to have to pay some bills. Lehigh, I will talk to you before your fight, man. But for all the fans out there, we wish you the best of luck. And go relax. Enjoy the rest of your night, brother.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Hey, Lehigh, man. Thanks for joining us tonight, brother. And be safe, man.
No problem. You guys have a good night.
All right, bud.
Folks, we're going to play us a little advertisement. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
I hope. Are you going to play a song tonight?
Yes, I am.
Did you take my request from last week to heart?
I did, but I haven't downloaded it into the system yet.
You're such a fucking... Whatever, bro. Whatever, man.
Well, first of all, here we go. One of my great sponsors. Folks out there, especially fighters, right now they got some deals going to do fighter bios, which are phenomenal. You guys should check them out. Go check out Jax Media, folks.
Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
Shout out. We love our sponsors, folks. Go check them all out. You guys can go to MMAMadhouse.com. We have hyperlinks to every one of our sponsors down the right-hand side. Excuse me. We're going to start this second hour talking about some great action down in California. I'm going to bring on the man himself from 559 Fights, Jeremy Lucha. How are you tonight?
All right. How you guys doing?
Oh, man, doing wonderful, man. We've been wanting to get you on for the last few months, and we finally got a great opportunity to get you on. You guys are killing it down there, man. I mean, you know, we follow what's going on in California, and
you guys are starting to become one of the premier groups coming out of that camo. And let's talk a little bit about your organization before we talk about your event coming up. For all the fans out there, especially outside the West Coast, tell them a little bit about who you are and your organization.
Yeah, you know, I started in MMA with the WEC, writing some press releases and some feature stories, things like that. Moved on to the Palace Fighting Championship out there in Lemoore, and I was an assistant out there. I did, you know, I helped with some matchmaking. I helped, you know, venue set up. You know, I've held virtually every position within the MMA workings, with the exception of Ring Girl, for obvious reasons, you know. But, you know, I helped develop Tachi Palace Fights. I ran that, for several years, and then kind of branched off, and I started doing some, you know, I wanted to form an amateur league to kind of help cultivate some more talent in this area. And it kind of just, you know, since then it's kind of just spun out of control and become my big baby, where, you know, we're doing an amateur show every week, or every month as of right now. But, you know, it's just to help cultivate some talent in this area to get guys to the next level, and get some experience without having to kind of dive in there and take some early lumps, you know what I mean?
Now, how much of your background do you feel played a role in getting to this point successfully?
You know, I can't say, and I mean, I've learned everything in this game kind of by trial by fire, you know what I mean? You know, I didn't know about MMA, you know, I didn't know that much about MMA when I started writing about it. I just kind of learned on the fly. I didn't know that much about matchmaking. I kind of just learned on the fly. Promoting, kind of just learned on the fly. So, you know, I was lucky enough to kind of come through the Tachi system with all those great promotions out there and work with some of the very best in the business, guys like, you know, Reed Harris when he was there with the WEC, Christian Prinup with the Palace Fighting Championship, Alex Bellator, you know, Jacob Jeff out there at Tachi, all the great people out there. And, you know, I just absorbed everything, you know what I mean? I think the key in this sport is to not be a know-it-all and to understand that everyone has great ways of doing things, and to kind of just learn from everybody. And at the same time, when you're watching what other people are doing and you're learning from them, you kind of learn what not to do as well.
That's very true. Now,
sometimes that's the best education people can give you.
Right.
You guys went a route. Some promotions just haven't gone, and I don't truly understand why, but you guys got involved with Camo pretty early, and I feel like Camo's been very successful in your state. How important was it for you to go that route?
You know, I really, you know, when I was at Tachi, we developed the idea of 559 Fights, and it was just kind of to cultivate some more talent. You know, going with Camo, they're the sanctioning body for amateur MMA in California. You know, and It was just, you know, they're a new organization, a new sanctioning body. So their evolution, they're constantly changing and adapting their rules, and they're figuring things out on the way they go. But the things that I really enjoy about them is that they're good listeners. So when promoters have problems, we can go to them and talk to them about things and get things solved. You know what I mean? So I think it's been a good growing process for all of us working together. And, you know, the evolution of staying with them instead of, you know, going to, like, the tribal, reservations. It's just I wanted it to be legitimate. I wanted it to be something where the fighters were protected by insurance, where they were protected by quality officials and quality, you know, doctors and things like that. You know what I mean? I didn't want there to be any question about what was going on during my events.
No. With you having Camo, once again, you just touched on the difference between maybe, you know, being at reservations and casinos versus being able to pick multiple venues. And that's something you guys, obviously you guys have been smart about some of the venues you guys have performed in. how important was that to be able to have that choice to be able to pick venues like that?
Yeah, you know, it's always nice, you know, for a lot of these guys to be able, you know, everyone's kind of pseudo dream other than fighting in the UFC is to be able to fight at home, right? And a lot of people can never really say, oh, I got to fight in my hometown, you know what I mean? You know, they may be fighting in their hometown, but their real hometown is 30 minutes away, you know? I'm able to go to a lot of these guys' actual hometowns. You know, we go to small cities out here and do shows. You know, I've done shows in Bakersfield, Tulare, Visalia, Hamford, Fresno. You know, we go all over the place. And another thing we started doing was we kind of hopped on the fair circuit. So we've become an attraction at the fairs. So now we also follow where the fairs are going, you know what I mean, whether it's the King's Fair, whether it's the Tulare Fair, you know, Fresno Fair, and now we're attractions at these fairs just like concerts and stuff are, you know. So I think it's been a good part of our business model since when we came out. Our goal was not to do one fight a quarter. We wanted to do monthly fights to just really make a boom in this area of amateur fighters so that they can learn and stuff. So the more fights I have, the more fighters, you know what I mean, that are coming out, getting involved in mixed martial arts, learning everything. So that's kind of what it is. I mean, you know, when we first started, maybe there was 50 fighters within our area, and, you know, now there's probably 200, 300 plus fighters in our area. So you know, it was a simple thing to grow that.
I have to agree that I think that's one of the attractions about your organization, and probably one of the reasons you guys have grown so successful so fast is your ability to travel, to go to these guys and pack out their hometown and then go to another set of fighters' hometown. I think that that's something that a lot of amateur organizations seem to just go to one event at one venue and that's it, and it becomes stale, you know. Go ahead.
Yeah, and for me, and for our team, what it also creates is excitement because, you know, it would be really easy for me to do a show at one place all the time. It becomes repetitive. It becomes redundant. It becomes easy. You know what I mean? And I kind of don't like that. You know what I mean? Every time I'm going to a new town, a new city, a different venue, we're learning and working with new people and doing different things. And there's always new challenges and new things that we have to do at different venues. You know what I mean? You know, I own two cages, for example, because I have a 26-foot cage. Well, that doesn't fit into every venue, so I had to purchase an 18-foot cage. You know what I mean? So I have two different groups of guys that set up two different cages, so I can have cages at two different locations if I wanted to. I could do a fight. I could do two fights in one night at two different locations.
Conceivably, you guys could probably do events every weekend, couldn't you? And not really burn out any one particular area.
Yeah, I mean, if I really wanted to, I could do a show in Fresno one week, go down to Bakersfield and do a show, then come 50, 60 miles north into Tulare or Visalia and do a show the next weekend, and then, you know, go up into Madera and do a show the following weekend. If I had a group and a team big enough to do it, yeah, we could do it. There's enough fighters in our area now where I could do, you know, an 8-10 fight card every week from Bakersfield all the way up through Madera if we really wanted to do so.
Well, obviously you guys have been, you know, like I said, successful. You guys, I believe, I just saw a post. It was today or yesterday. You guys are less than 100 tickets available, you know, for the 24th, which is 10 days out, you know. That's impressive. I mean, you know, are you guys seeing that happen faster and faster each event now?
You know, what it is, you know, we were last in Visalia, I think, in May. You know, so it's been a little bit of time since we did a show in that market. And I think people really enjoyed the last show that we did out there. We have a beautiful facility that we work with in Visalia with their minor league baseball team. So, you know, it's one of the better places that we've done shows, and I think the fans really liked the setup and stuff once they saw it. And the fighters in that area are go-getters, man. They're out there hustling their tickets. They're out there promoting the show. You know, I work with Eddie Aguirre at Visalia MMA here. He's in that market, and he's really good about pushing our events and pushing our shows. So, we've averaged, some venues that I've done that only seat 600 people, Some venues that I've done seat, 3,000 people, 4,000 people. So, we do a wide range of different styles of shows, for different amounts of people.
Now, obviously part of you is a fan of all this. Now, when it comes to that fan part, are you doing the matchmaking or do you have somebody else?
I do all the matchmaking for the, I handle pretty much all, I have three partners, John Motzenbacher and Joey Perez, and I pretty much handle most all of the MMA aspects of the promotion, and they deal with more of the accounting or sponsorships, things like that. But yeah, so for me, being a fan of MMA first and foremost, it's exciting to be able to put together fights because I can kind of put together fights A that I want to see, and then B that I think fans are going to want to see. So it's a cool double-edged sword where I can put together some cool fights that makes sense for the promotion, but that also makes sense for the fans and what they want to see.
It's great. We just talked to another promoter from Texas earlier, had that same kind of mentality. Sometimes you've got to have that fan look at matchmaking. I mean, you want the best fights possible, but you also want exciting fights for the fans. This card coming up, what's a fight that fans are going to be wowed by?
I mean, I think every time a promoter puts on a fight, they want their main event to be, the diamond. And I really think that this main event is a very quality main event. It's two guys at the flyweight division, which is one of the most exciting divisions in the world, that are really battling for a spot in the state tournament. And they're just both really, really exciting, fun fighters to watch that bring a whole variety of different skill sets to the cage, rather than one being a wrestler and one being a striker. They both of them do everything well, So I think one that would be the one that I'm looking forward to seeing the most.
Now, excuse me. Talking about this fight and obviously the ability to get into the state tournament. How many fighters are you hearing contact you that want to try to fight for you to kind of legitimize what they're doing?
I get calls for guys to fight for us from up and down the entire state, from San Diego all the way up past Sacramento, and for the most part, I've had guys fight for us in every region in California. So, I think people like that we bring a pretty solid production value to our shows. We come full with videos and lights and sound and all the all the extras that you'd probably see on a lot of mid-major regional promotions, for the pro level. We offer all that to these guys, because I want to give them a sense, since you can't pay the amateurs, you got to give them a sense of something, so I want them to feel like, hey, we're fighting in a big time show. This is awesome. I got, I had videos made of me. I have lots of mentions on Facebook. We really want to promote the fighter so that they can in turn promote the brand. And I think I think what we do at 509 Fights, maybe a little different than other promotions, is we tell stories. So people know an Alberto Areola. People know a Manny Ruiz. People know these guys that are fighting for us now more than they know a lot of the pro fighters in this area.
I like that mentality that you addressed. And you touched on, you have a great influx of fighters to choose from and to hit you up. I saw a post the other day, and this is the sad, down, black, dark side, whatever you want to call it.
Skippy's having more technical problems, Jeremy. He'll be
no worries.
He's still talking, but he doesn't realize we're not listening.
No worries.
This is great, man. So, what's a couple other fights that people should really be paying attention to?
I think, you know, there's an Eric Diaz and Marcel Ciprian fight. That's another fight where the winner could go into the tournament for the state tournament. Two guys at 145. Marcel's a great striker, and Eric, he just had a big knockout that was featured on HDNet a while back. You know, that's another one of those big fights that I think, you know, kind of catapult our show to the next level, that we're able to put on some fights like that. We have a lot of good up and coming talent on this show. Some different guys that I'm looking forward to seeing for the first time fight. You know, and then, you know, we host the first round of the tournament, the state tournament, 3 weeks later, September 12th in Tulare. And there's a bunch of fights on that card that are really, really looking good too. So, you know, there's a lot of great fights going on in our area right now.
I'm curious, because the downside, or maybe the dark side of what you have to do, is dealing with fighters who are no shows, who drop out fight week. I know that you recently had to deal with that. I was curious, because, you know, we've talked to a ton of promoters around the world. How do you, A, handle it, and B, what is an acceptable, I mean, short of an injury and somebody dying, is there anything that you accept for somebody dropping out?
Well, you got to, I guess you really got to accept. At the amateur level, you got to remember, there's no money tying these guys to fighting. You know what I mean? So as a promoter at the amateur level, you really got to have thick skin and just know that, hey, stuff is going to fall apart. Because at the end of the day, if the guy wants to go to his sister's, you know, birthday party, and that's more important than him fighting, he's going to go to the birthday party, because there's no money really holding these guys to the fight. And as we've all learned and know in this business, you know, a lot of people's word and honor doesn't carry very far as it should. You know what I mean? So,
amen.
Short, for me personally, if it was a pro fight, you know what I mean? Me personally as a promoter, short of someone in your family being seriously ill or dying, or you having a real injury that a doctor can confirm, there's really absolutely no need to be pulling out of a fight. For me, if you make a commitment to do something, you make a commitment to do something, and you should stick by it to the you know 99.9% best of your ability to do so. You know what I mean? There's times when situations arise and, you know, things happen. I understand that, you know. So, but at the end of the day, you know, I get a lot of, oh, you know, now I got to work. Which, I mean, you didn't know that you had to work, you know, a month and a half ago when you signed the bout agreement, you know. Or, you know, there's a lot of things like that goes on. Or sometimes, you know, I've had guys just delete their Facebooks, not answer their text messages or phone calls because, you know, I have no reason. I have no idea why they decided not to fight. It's just, they just show up. I've had guys go to weigh-ins before, see their opponent, and then not show up to the fight. I mean, it's a lot of, you know, I guess that's the good thing about amateur MMA, though, is that it really starts to separate, you know, the guys that really want to compete in this sport and people who are here just because they think it's cool. You know what I mean? So in
Jeremy,
that aspect,
what?
I get to play a good filter for the pros.
What do you think is worse at the amateur level, or I guess more egregious? The guy that pulls out with a lame excuse, or the guy that's like, I'm an amateur, I don't really have to make weight. Typically, the guy's going to fight me no matter where I'm at, and there's no real punishment to it. So, you know, typically more amateurs are missing weight. Which one of those do you think is maybe a little bit worse?
Wow. I think, personally, it's a little bit worse to not follow through with a commitment, and if you agree to fight and you don't show up, or you come up with a lame excuse. I think that ultimately that's worse than missing weight and knowing that you're going to miss weight, because at the end of the day, if you miss weight and you knew that you missed weight, your opponent has the ability to either A, accept the fight and make you pay for missing weight, or B, decline the fight. You know what I mean?
How do they make an amateur
pay,
though?
Pay as in pay in the cage, you know what I mean?
Oh, okay, I got you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so I mean, I guess it's going to happen. I haven't done one show where someone hasn't missed weight. You know what I mean? It's going to happen, and there's no until Camel says, if you miss weight by 3 or 4 pounds, you're suspended for like 3 months. Until something like that happens, then fighters are going to continue to miss weight and not take it as serious as they should, you know? The other part of it that I really think that there's a problem with is at the amateur level in California, it's the same day weigh-in. So really, you shouldn't just be cutting weight at all. You should just fight at your fit weight. You know what I mean? If you're around 155 pounds, you should fight at 155, not at 145. You know what I mean? If you're a guy that's 203 pounds, guess what? Fight at 205, man. Don't try to cut 20 pounds to get to 85. You know what I mean? That's the way it should be. You know what I mean? Because it's the same day weighing. But you know, it's hard telling somebody that whenever they see on TV that, you know, well, this guy cuts freaking, you know, 25 pounds, and they think, oh, well, I can cut 25 pounds too, and it just never works out for them the way they think it's going to.
No, that's something that Skippy and I are real proponents of is, like, maybe a minimum or a maximum weight cut for amateurs because, you know, I mean, I understand, like, if you're close to being a pro, then, you know, maybe you're wanting to cut weight to the actual class you're going to be at so you know what it's like. But if you're just starting out, you really should just fight at your walking weight.
Oh, I agree with that 100%. I mean, there's no reason why guys, I mean, if there's going to come a time here in the future where no one in the professional level is going to be cutting weight. I mean, it may be 10, 15 years down the road, but guys are going to be so leaned out and so fit and been training for so long that they're not gonna want to cut 5 pounds, let alone 10 pounds, to make a weight class. You're gonna see that in the future. You're starting to see that with some of the elite guys now, where they're not cutting very much weight. But once the sport really evolves, you're gonna see less and less people cutting weight.
I agree. I mean, and for the people that doubt, you know, that think you have to cut weight, look at Frankie Edgar. Walked around at like 156, was the lightweight world champion. There's like, not only is it bad for, like, it's, you know, unnecessarily hard on your kidneys, but also if you're not cutting weight, then you still have all that shock absorbency around your head. And I'm not saying that you should take more damage, but you can take more damage because you have a better protection up there than after you just cut weight. You've pulled all the water out from everywhere. That means your brain's just rattling around in an empty fucking, like, walnut shell up there instead of having something to help with the shock absorbency.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Weight
cutting is ridiculous.
Well, yeah, and we got a good, you know, sponsor of ours listening to the show tonight, and he said 9 out of 10 times the most skilled AMI beats the guy with the weight, you know, when it comes to the weight issue. It's more at an amateur level. It's more about skills, not about weight.
Correct. I agree with that 100%, you know. And it gets to the point where a lot of these amateurs, you know, they watch this UFC stuff and they all think that they're Roy Jones. I mean, that they're John Jones. You know what I mean? That they're gonna pick.
I love
choose.
That you said Roy Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you're a boxing head now.
Yeah, they're gonna pick and choose. I've had guys, you know, tell me, well, I won't fight a guy that's over the age of 24 and he has to be shorter than me. And, you know, he cannot have more than 1 year of Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And I'm like, guy, you know what I mean? This isn't CarMax, brother. Like, I can't go in there and there's no formula that I could, you know, find you the exact opponent like that. There's
Dude,
weight class, and that's it. You know what I mean?
I've got it, Jeremy. We just set up like an eHarmony type thing for matchmaking where they can just go on and like fill out all their likes and dislikes. And then they can just automatically get paired with somebody that, like, fills their thing. And until the little eHarmony for fighting, like, matches them up, they just don't fight.
Right. And that's,
and then they'll
know.
Change their tune real fucking quick. They'll be like, shit, man, I haven't had a fight in a while, man. Can't Jeremy find me this 1-4 guy that's...
you know, it happens a lot, man. I mean, it happens with every level of fighter from a guy just starting out to a guy that's got 10 fights, you know, they all want to be able, they see these other guys picking and choosing their fights and they're expecting to do the same thing. And that's because they're not utilizing the amateur system for what it's meant for. The amateur system is meant to prepare you, give you experience to get to the next level. It's not there for fame and for stardom. You know what I mean? It's not there for the red carpet, et cetera. You know what I mean? And these guys got to realize, they got to stop thinking about, man, I don't want to go out and look bad in front of my buddies, and start thinking about, you know what, maybe I should fight a wrestler, because once I turn pro, I'm not going to have a goddamn choice. You know what I mean? So I better learn how to defend a takedown now in real live action instead of just in the gym, you know, and stop being scared to fight a guy that's taller than you, because guess what? The next level, you're not going to have a choice but to fight a guy that's taller than you. You know what I mean? You're not going to have that option.
You're 100% right. You're 100% right. I mean, look, we've seen a lot of amateur MMA around the country, and we do. We come across those guys whose this amateur career is the same as those dudes in the 80s in Texas who won that state championship ring, who are still talking about it 25 years later, even though they never went to college or never played in the pros. And that's the scary thing, is instead of preparing people to become pros, and that's why I like your organization, because that's your mentality, is this is about preparation for a career. It's time to whittle the bullshitters out. You see other guys who are like, hey, dude, I know he's an independent and he's 3-13, but you know what? He did win a title for our organization last year, so let's put him back on the card. That way he can tell everybody we're bringing back the ex-champ. You know, look, it's sad. There are very few guys are going to make it to that elite level. But we need more organizations like yours throughout this country that are, hey, look, we're here for the fights. We're here to make fighters fight and become better and progress so they can become pros. You're not just calling up random guys from the crowd to say, hey, let's fight because it's same-day weigh-in, you know?
Yeah.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
There are too many guys coming to the sport like that.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you. There's guys in my organization right now that have fought for me, guys like two guys especially. A guy like Marcel Ciprian, who's, I believe he's 4-2-1, and a guy like James Spear, who's 5-5-1, and I believe those are the two most ready guys to go to the next level as professionals than most anybody else that I have within the organization, and that includes a champion of mine at 145 that's 10-0, and a champion of mine at 135 who's 5-0. I just believe that those guys have more tools, have experienced the ups and downs of MMA, winning, losing, being submitted, being knocked out, fighting on short notice, fighting at different weight classes, things like that. They are the most skilled, ready guys to go and compete at the next level.
And it's funny because Lopaki mentioned this earlier tonight, and it's something we talk about. This is your chance and your time to lose, because that's when you learn, you know. It's not going to hurt your career if you lose as an amateur. So don't be afraid to step up and take the best fight available for you, you know, because the worst thing that happens is you lose and you learn from it.
Yeah, and to add to that, I always tell these guys that call me and say, hey, I'm going through some drama with my family right now. I don't think right now is the right time to fight. Or, hey, you know, I have the flu and I haven't been able to train for the next, you know, the last couple of days or whatever, and I tell these guys all the same thing. I go, when you get to the professional level, brother, you're going to have to battle through adversity. There's going to be no training camp that you go through that is going to be perfect. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get sick. Your girlfriend's going to be pissed off at you because you're cutting weight. Your wife might be seeing the man down the street. Whatever the case, guess what? You're still going to fight. So why not learn how to fight through adversity as an amateur, when exactly what you were saying, it doesn't matter if you win or lose, versus having to battle through adversity for the very first time with something important on the line like your professional record, not to mention a couple thousand bucks, you know what I mean? And I don't think people really understand that whatsoever.
Jeremy, I like to always say, I go, show me a fighter that fought at 100% and I'll show you a liar.
Exactly. Exactly. The flu... Having the flu or having the cold is not a reason not to fight, guys. You know what I mean? You're having a bad day at work, a reason not to fight.
I don't know the last time some of these guys were 100%, you know, at the upper level.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look at that story that came out the other day about the kidney stones. You know, whether he had them the day before or the day of, you know, they're not. I'm not sure because the article didn't clarify if he had Aldo had the stones day of or the fight of the day before, but either way, you're talking about an uncomfortable situation, man, you know, and you're still there
hurting
for the weigh-ins. You're still, you're still there to fight. I mean, come on, you know, nobody out there will ever be 100% going into a fight, and that's what being an amateur is learning about, learning how to train right, learning how to prepare yourself, learning mentally, physically, learning about dietary issues, and learning about working through, you know, a sprained wrist or, you know, a sore shoulder, because there's certain aspects and times in your pro career where you don't have that luxury to say, I'm just got a sore ankle today, I want to sit down, man, I got turf toe, you know. It's just the reality. I mean, and these guys have to learn that at the beginning at a young age. And it takes not only coaches, but
Skippy
promoters.
Went dead again. So this is, oh, he's back now. Now you're back.
Okay. You know, it's the job of the coaches and the promoters and trainers to get these kids prepared. I mean, you have to have real promoters like you, Jeremy, who want to bring in the toughest kids who will fight through a sore shoulder or a sloppy wrist, you know?
Yeah, and that they're going to make the best pros. They're the ones that are going to make the better money coming up. They're the ones that are going to get to the next level. It's guys that have taken a bunch of losses and worked through some adversity that are going to make good fighters at the next level. I believe that wholeheartedly.
No, I think like about 2 weeks ago I was at an event in Washington. It was a pro-am event. And an amateur fight, a number one contender fight, was a guy 4-0 versus 3-1. And, I mean, I pretty much picked the fight exactly how it was. Like, I thought it would finish in the second round. I thought the guy that was 3-1 would finish the other guy. And when people would ask me, I was like, because the guy that's 4-0 hasn't fought anybody like this guy. He hasn't fought the people that this guy's fought and shown me what he can do. So, I'm like, I just know that he's tougher. I'm like, nothing against the 4-0 guy. He's a tough dude, and, I mean, he'll make it to the second round, no problem, but he won't make it out of it because he hasn't been in there with anybody that can do the things that this guy can do.
Yeah, definitely.
And I don't know how you get these guys to understand that. It's like, you're not going to get into the UFC as an amateur, so lose. You don't got to be fucking undefeated as an amateur. You're not going anywhere. It's just going to be like, oh. You're undefeated. I can find an amateur a fight with a 5-40 record.
Yeah,
if he's responsible, shows up on time and makes weight.
That's a good thing. The good thing about having an amateur system, you know, a lot of the older pro guys are against it, kind of in a way. But you know, the good thing about having the amateur system is that we are a filter for the professional level. So you're going to weed out a lot of these guys. That really don't belong fighting at the professional level long before they get there when they step through the amateur system. And I understand that's our role in the sport right now, and I have no problem dealing with that.
Yeah, but at the same time, I also want people to understand that, you know, I see guys out there that are like 25, 30 pro fights or amateur fights in, and they know they're not going to make it to the UFC. But I think that those kind of guys should turn pro because I don't really – I mean – if you're going to get beat up 30 times, you should be getting paid after about the 10th one.
I people ask
you
me
disagree,
that question a lot, too. No. People ask me that question a lot, you know, like when is a good time to go pro or when is a not good time, you know, good time to go pro. Again, like I said, I mean, I have a guy that's 10-0 right now. He's our featherweight champ, and all he does is wrestle. You know what I mean? I could see
talking
that
about,
guy fighting.
Jen, I'm talking more about, like, you know, like, you probably have some of those guys that, you know, you can rely on that will just show up, put on a good fight. They're probably not going to fight at, you know, World Series of Fighting or anything like that.
But they could
be a good, like, local pro that, you know, just a card filler. And rather than fill the card as an amateur and not get paid, I think those guys should be filling those cards as a pro and catching a paycheck.
Hey, I mean, and if that's what they want to go do, is their role in the MMA landscape going to go to be an exciting can? Then there's going to be a spot for an exciting can someplace. You know what I mean? I understand that aspect of the game as well. You know what I mean? But those guys don't have much of a place in the amateur system at all either. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What I'm hoping the amateur level thing can do is develop guys into good pros. You know what I mean? To making smart decisions, if a guy is just a brawler and he's so hard-headed, he doesn't want to learn MMA and learn that he needs to stop takedowns in order to win fights, but he's exciting. Well, that's on him. That's his problem. You know what I mean? If he want, and you're right. You're absolutely right. If he wants to go start catching some dollars, you know, for taking his lumps, he, by God, he should. You know what I mean? But there is also, you know, there's also a time where a guy could be 32-0 and still only wrestling people, and he's not ready to fight pro, you know?
Oh, no, I agree for sure, man. I definitely agree. You know, the Boston Salmon amateur kind of guys are far and few between that, you know, can have a few fights and be ready to make that jump.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Jeremy, before we have to wrap up this segment, I want you to take some time. This is your time. Make sure all the fans can find you. Make sure fighters who want to fight for you can find you. Any sponsors, especially any information about the August 24th event that you want to get out, go for it. It's your time, brother.
Yeah, you can find us on Facebook, on our fan page, 559 Fights, on Twitter, at 559 Fights, Instagram, at 559 Fights. You know, me personally, my Facebook's Jeremy Lukow. You know, you can email me directly, jeremy@559fights.com. We got a, you know, we got several events coming up in the area, August 24th in Visalia. We have the Camo, first round of the Camo State Tournament, September the 12th in Tulare. Then we head out to the Big Fresno Fair as an attraction at their big fair that they have out there, the third or fourth largest fair in the state of California, on October the 6th. So we got fights going on all over the place.
I love it. I love it. And if anybody wants to get tickets for any of these events, where's the best place for them to get tickets?
www.559fights.com.
Well, you know, Jeremy, I want to tell you thank you. We want to have you on in the future. We finally got a chance to get you on this show. Like I said, I believe that you have a great organization. I love the fact that you guys run it the way you do. And it's even better now to us that we've gotten to sit down and meet the man behind it all. So, you know, definitely look forward to this event. And, you know, I'd love to also get on your press release list for our website. That way we can start throwing up some press releases for you guys as well. And, you know, feel free to shoot us results, links to photos, whatever you guys want. We'll get it up.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
We got a message to deliver. War to the Baptist from Clinch Custom Mouth Guards.
The Baptist, there you go.
Anybody out there, you guys know MMA, you guys will obviously know what we're talking about. If you don't, sorry you got left out of the joke. Well, Jeremy, man, once again, dude, I look forward to this event being a great turnout like always. I hope you have super good success, and like I said, please, you know, let's work together, let's, you know, get some press releases from you. Let's help you post your results and push your events. Man, we'd like to continue working with you.
All right, guys. I appreciate you having me on. Take care.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Have a good night.
Hey, man, I got some breaking news out of Norway. Breaking news out of Norway.
Dude.
Hit me with the.
This is important. I hope Jern is listening. Here we go.
Jern just gave it to me.
Muy importante.
Ba-boom. So, August 31st, from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the Frontline Academy in Oslo, Norway, they're having the first ever MMA national team tryouts for Norway.
Baller. That's dude. Team Madhouse, Jørn Christensen in Norway, rocking it for us. He will be there. That's how we do it, folks. Whether we're talking to Jeremy from 559 Fights in Central California, whether we're talking to Jennifer from Premier Combat Group in Southern Texas, or we're talking about Jørn knocking it out, covering MMA in Norway. Madhouse is
dude.
All over the world.
He says by October or November, he'll be able to cover local MMA in Norway. He's super freaking stoked, man. He's probably hating having to watch it go on all over Europe and just avoid Norway like it was the plague. Jørn has got to be super excited. Jørn, I know you'll, if you're not listening right now, you'll be listening later. Man, we appreciate it, bro. And we're stoked to see what you're bringing to us from Norway. I know that, you know, we're probably curious about the fighters, but I'm really curious to know what kind of ring girls do they get in Norway?
Dude, yeah.
I might need to go on location and go cover some events to make sure Jurn knows what to do properly.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't know.
Carl, I need the expense account.
You're talking like 6'6", like Norwegian bombshells. Yeah, I think I should go over and make
Louis
sure.
Louis, importante.
I'm telling you, you're dude, I'm very happy to hear that. I know you've been working close with those guys for about the last year to really get this stuff going. And anybody out there, if you guys aren't following him, you should be. He does a great job bringing stuff to us, but he's going to be bringing a lot more now, and I know he's excited. I'd say about a year ago...
Yeah, this information he gave us is from the Norwegian MMA Foundation. And it's going to be presented Det Norske MMA Landslaget. I don't really fucking know what I just told you guys. But trust me, it says in big bright letters in English, tryout at the Frontline Academy in Oslo.
That's baller. That's what I'm talking about.
And you can go to, I don't know what the website is, folks. I'm trying to find it here.
Well, yeah, it's funny because I'm going to have to hit up Singh and tell him because he's just a country away.
Oh, that'd
be dope. Bam.
August 31st from 12 to 6 p.m. I do like how they use military time so that anybody can figure out what time.
Right.
Pro is what they're hoping for, and he thinks that this will work out because the politicians are positive, not the socialists, but who cares about them?
Dude,
you're the
Jurn.
Man. You're such
you know,
a baller.
Honestly, if you guys think about the history of combat sports in that region of the world, let alone that country, we should see a beautiful influx of fighters over the next few years. You know, I'd say give it 4 or 5 years, and you start to see some great guys. With the kickboxing history that they have there, the Sambo, now obviously, you know, you've got wrestling out of Russia. You know, you've got more and more Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioners going to Europe to train and to teach. It's going to be really nice to see Norway open up.
Dude, Norway, that'll be a good little market, man. I'm wondering, do you think that they'll incorporate, like, you know how we wanted to have Filipino knife fights? Do you think they'll have, like, Norwegian axe fights or something? I mean, I think that was, like, the weapon of the Vikings, right? Norway, Vikings?
Yes.
I think that's pretty right.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, you could throw some sick events. You do, like, a strongman competition during the day, and then do, like, MMA at night. Oh.
And, like, the main event's a Norwegian axe fight. I mean, dude, it's great.
Dude, yeah. That's way killer.
Dude, you know, we could do this with, like, death row, like, people on death row. We could give them the option. Like, you can earn your way off death row if you're able to win, like, 5 fights to the death. And then you can just go be a prisoner for the rest of your life.
See, no. I got it down. I figured this out when I was incarcerated. I had time to think. Okay? Basically, what you do is anybody with a 25-year or longer sentence, every year, you take and you put them all in one compound with, you know, barbed wire fencing, guards with guns so they can't get out. You throw down a box of baseball bats, and the last guy standing gets paroled. And then you just shoot him in the head. I guarantee
so
that
you're
If you told people they were going to get 25-year sentences minimum for a DUI, you would never get another DUI in this country. Not from a smart fool.
So what happened? They get to fight to the death? Till there's only
yep.
one guy left?
Yeah, and then you just shoot him.
That wouldn't be as exciting. I prefer the Norwegian axe fight.
How about this? We get Crisco to sponsor deep frying people in the electric chair.
No, that doesn't intrigue me. I'm talking about we're going to take executions to the pay-per-view level, bro. This is going to be like that movie with Bing Rames. It's going to be like that movie with Bing Rames, dude.
Sherry goes,
I can't
think
of what the hell it's called.
Yeah, right? If you're going to die, why win? Dude, what about Death Race? What about if we
I would be cool with that as long as it's on pay-per-view, bro.
Dude, look at this. We got to go to another country where we can legalize death racing and then export prisoners there for money.
Yeah, but Skippy, it's like Sherry just told you. There's already a movie about that, you dingley.
Yeah, but I'm going to be honest. The new movie was okay, but the original was Sylvester Stallone and, David Carradine as Frankenstein. That was better. Remember when they pushed all those old people? Sorry, Sherry. Remember when they pushed all the old people out in the street to give Frankenstein points?
Yeah.
And he ran them over all the nurses? That was so great. Oh, I love that movie. Sorry, Sherry. I know that you would have been one of the ones run over, but we still love you because you would have gotten 500 points. She would have been worth 500 if the old people were only worth 100. You remember because the score tally kept going up?
Yeah, but I think she just works at the old person's home, dude. She doesn't live and reside there. Like, she's not in a chair to be pushed out. It's not like she's on a freaking hospital bed with, like, you know, rollers underneath it, too. She's, like, taking care of the people that are in the hospital bed with the rollers underneath it.
Yeah, but you remember that's what happened. They rolled. She does private care, so she can only roll one person out anyway, so not that many.
Yeah, they wouldn't even waste their time going down her street. They'd be like, that's a waste of time.
Yeah. Yeah, they'd have to. We'd have to send them to the mall or something.
She's like, I'll get you in your
Sherry.
Sleep. I'll get you in your sleep, boy. Skippy's going downtown to Chinatown.
I like that last comment. That is classic.
Dude, but I really think, man, if we could find a way to pay-per-view executions in the criminal system, we would see a downswing in crime rates. I almost guarantee it. If you show these people exactly what was going to happen, and that it's a fight to death, not like a needle, not like a little needle where you just get to lay down and take, like, the little wussy way out, like, you actually got to fight for your life, or just roll over and let somebody kill you?
I talked to the chief. You know, I used to feed the chief of police a couple times a week, and one of the things I asked him is, don't you think if you were allowed to cane kids every Saturday downtown on the square, that would probably have a deterrent? That you could just walk over with a cane and just whack them, you know, 7-8 times till you split the skin and then send them home?
Oh, dude, no, that's like, okay, did you see the video floating around of the cop that smacked the kid in the face when he bit him? Like, the kid, like, the 10-year-old kid bit the cop, like, a week and a half ago or something, and the cop just, like, topped him upside the head, like, gave him a backhand freshie. And people are, like, getting all upset about it, and I'm like, hell yeah, dude, like, pop that little bastard again. And people are like, you can't just go and hit him. I'm like, if you're willing to bite me, I'm going to smack the shit out of you. I don't give a shit if you're 10 or 110. If you bite me, I'm going to smack you. Unless we're, in the biting zone. Like, there's zones for biting, you know. But that's not when you're like, being taken home to your parents for being a runaway. Don't bite cops. You know, maybe if his dad would have smacked him upside the head, he wouldn't have been getting drugged back home by the cops.
I love that. Well, you know,
that's also an alternative way to settle the biting issue, is just to bite them back. I can only imagine, though. They'd be like, oh, my God, the cop's on bath salts. He's biting 10-year-olds.
Oh, right. Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, my first son was born, I mean, you know, he's, what, almost 19 now.
You were biting him, too, or?
No, but when, like, he was still young, he had a biting thing. So one time his mom put a finger in his mouth and made him bite down on it. He quit biting other, you know, everyone.
Well, yeah, dude, you know, when dogs chew on things, what do? You put cayenne pepper on it, and they stop biting, like chewing on shit.
Yep.
You know, this is why all these kids growing up nowadays that get time out, like, that's what's part of the problem with America, is that parents are not just smacking their fucking kids upside the head when they step out of line. It's like, oh, you're going to get time out when we get home, Johnny. You're going to go to your room. Well, Johnny wants to be in his room because Johnny's got 14 iPads, the Xbox, the internet, and four iPhones. So what are you really teaching him? Go do what you normally do, Johnny. Don't worry about misbehaving. Just smack that little son of a bitch right upside the head and teach him a lesson right in front of God and everybody.
Well, and you see that, especially at Walmart, and I don't understand that. And it's something that, you know, we talk to quite a few young amateur athletes, especially in the Brazilian jiu-jitsu world, and you have people like, you know, Ben, carries himself so well. He's, you know, got a great education on him. You know, he talks polite, you know. I guarantee you didn't see his parents having to smack him in Walmart because they did it once and the kid learned. You know, but you see these kids at Walmart now are like, give me that, Mom, and start screaming up the top of their head. And the parents are like, oh, okay, you're honey, here's the Captain Crunch. What the hell is your problem, lady? You whoop his little butt, you put him back in the cart, and you tell him he ain't getting Captain Crunch.
I got a message just now that
God
said,
forbid, you somebody call the cop, somebody videotape it and call the cops, and you go
to jail,
kids would be taken away.
My dad spanks me on the bottom. Oh, my God, sexual assault. You know, you never know what kind of charges they might throw your way. Oh, was it his bare bottom? Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Dude,
I remember my mom was lethal. My mom was lethal with a belt, a wooden spoon, leather sandals, really probably anything she could get her hands on.
Dude, I was 16, pissed, drunk, high on drugs, and I thought my dad pulled out the belt. He's, I'm going to whoop your ass. And said, come on, old man, me and you outside. Put the belt down, fight me like a man. He commenced to beating the living shit out of me. I mean, I never backtalked to my dad again, dude. To this day, I never said a bad word to that man. He's like, okay, we're done with the belt. You want to play big boy shit? And he beat the crap out of me, dude. So bad. I never want to backtalk to that man again. Ever.
Dude, I don't know what it is, but dads can beat your ass no matter how old they are.
No shit.
Your dad could be 95 on his deathbed, like you guys are sitting there having like the last words read to him, and then you can say a cross thing to him. He'll hop out of the bed, whip your ass, and then go back to commence to dying.
Dude, switch off the trees. That's right. That's not playing. But see, you do that shit today. You know, like my dad. If my dad, the neighbors would have sold my dad today, take me outside and square off with me.
He'd have been in a shitload of... Yeah, he'd have been rich and he'd have been in jail.
Yeah, and that's what would have happened. Today's kid would have sued for, whatever they call that, emancipation, you know. And then he would have sued his dad for assault, you know, and then got the house. The dad would have been homeless. Yeah, no, look, my dad whooped my ass and made me a better man. Straight up, I can admit it.
Yeah, dude. I figured out that was what not to do. That was, like, close to, like, probably breaking the law, because that was really what it would take for me to get, like, spanked or whatever. And then that's how you knew what your boundaries were.
Yep. Hey, hold on real second.
MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors, Draco Impact Armor, Clench Custom Mouth Guards, Cast Iron Supplements, Brawl Base, Pro-Am Belts, Game Changer Clothing, Never Tap, Hype Fight Store, Intimidation Clothing, Ink Tank Tattoo, 24 in LV, Crossroader Clothing, Central Oregon Trike, Triumph Fitness, Vision Smoke Shop, Tank Crimes, Big T's Nightclub, and ACS Live TV.
Big shout out Jax Media, too. You guys go check them out. And by the way, Sherry, I think that might have been against the law, electrocuting your kids. Wow.
Yeah, I never had that treatment.
Right? He's like, pick up this hot pan. Some fucking David Carradine kung fu shit. But once again, it's a different era. You know, back then when we were growing up, I mean, you could still, you know, leave your front doors open. Nowadays, you leave your front door open and go to the store, your house is robbed. You got four meth heads squatting in there, and you can't move back in.
Dude, it was great, dude. Like, so here's the true story, man. So I don't even know. I was probably like in sixth or seventh grade, and I did something at home that like was super fucking heinous, and my mother was pissed. And
So, but she didn't know if I did it or my sister did it. And so she's like yelling at us about who did it. And my sister's like, I didn't do it. And I'm like, I didn't do it. I don't know who did it. I was like, I think she did it. I was like, and I kept like blaming it on my sister. My mom commenced to like taking turns on whose ass she was going to lift. And we were both like, I was like, I didn't do it. And my sister's like, I really didn't do it. I didn't do it.
Let her take it. That's great.
Oh, yeah, dude, we were both getting there. Well, I ended up getting it worse, you know, because, fuck, man, once the truth came out that I was the one that did it, things weren't good on the home front. I tell my sister now, I go, that's one of those things in life that I, as a big brother, taught you how tough you are. Like, this is what kind of damage you can take.
Oh, man. We're going to wrap up this show in a minute, folks, because no one wants to hear about my back-to-back Christmas standoff with the SWAT team 2 years in a row on Christmas Eve. So I want to thank everybody who joined us tonight. Big shout-out to Jeremy from 559 Fights. Big shout-out to Jennifer from Premier Combat Group. Lehi Dominguez, go get that win. Everybody, Eagle!
Osprey.
Yeah, what are you doing?